Let's take our hymn books again tonight, and we're going to sing some more songs about the Word of God. Let's turn to 532. 532. We'll remain seated for this one, and we'll stand on the for the second song. 532. Privilege that we have to be in your house. We thank you for the word that we've already heard this morning. Pray that you would continue to use it in our hearts and lives and help us to be receptive to what your word says and help us to apply it. Many times we come across situations where we struggle with what it, would you have us do, and it's in times like those the word that we've already heard, your spirit can put that, bring that in back to our minds and say, this is what I want you to do. So continue to help us and guide us and direct us in what you would have us to do. Be with our pastor tonight as he continues preaching, that you would use him, strengthen him, encourage him, and each one of us as we listen. Thank you for our time together, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Let's turn now to 598. 598. You'll see why I requested that we stand on this song rather than the first song. 598. Standing on the Promises.
Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing. standing on the promises of God.
All right, you can be seated. I was anticipating doing this next Sunday, but since Jim and Donna are here, I heard through the grapevine that Donna's birthday is this coming Saturday, so we're going to sing happy birthday to her. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. God bless you and keep you. Happy birthday to you. All right. We're glad you're able to be here tonight. Pastor, do you want to do announcements? Okay. Just a refresher from this morning. We only have a couple of them left, so if you did not get a church directory address list, pick one up here on the organ, and we will make sure there are more made if we need them. The card on the organ is still there for Emma Grace, the granddaughter of the Catasauqua mayor. We're glad she was able to come home from the hospital. They have her on a monitor to see if they can figure out what's going on with her heart. And so we're grateful at least that she was able to come home. And so if you did not get a chance to sign the card, if you would like to do so, it's still here. And then as soon as we can, we'd like to mail that out to them so that they get that. Okay. I can't think of anything else, Pastor, are you? Other than we'll see what happens. The last two have been canceled because of rain, but hopefully this Thursday night from 6 to 7, Front and Pine, you can still, we're going to try to hold up the signs for those who are able to come and do that. So we'll see what the Lord does. All right. Our next song then is the very next one, 599.
Thank you.
first phrase of that stanza four, we don't need to pray as New Testament believers, do we? If we are saved, the Holy Spirit is within us.
Come on, man.
However, next phrase that says that he may touch my eyes and make me see, that we still need to pray for. Right? The first phrase is what the New Testament believers like David had to pray. He would not take the Holy Spirit from him. All right? So it's a really good psalm. A lot of good truth in it, but we have to be careful because it's not inspired like the Word of God is. All right, our last song then before the special and the message is Two Songs Over, number 601. 601, How Firm a Foundation. If you're able to stand, let's do so on this song. 601.
Thank you.
Imagine what it's going to be like in heaven.
Amen.
You get to heaven someday, and everybody's around the throne glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb that was slain. It's going to be something else. It's going to be something else. You know, I'm thankful this evening that there's still individuals out there that are trying to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though if you might talk with them, they might believe a little differently, but at least they take some type of stand. You know, sometimes you get discouraged, you look out and around about you and the news and things that you see and you hear, you get discouraged pretty quick the way things are going. But it's a blessing when you see something that somebody still has some common sense out there and is willing to acknowledge it, even though it might cost them something. You see, so often if you stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, it may cost you something. You may lose your job. You might lose some family members. You might lose some friends. People might turn their back on you. But it's a blessing when someone's willing to just take a stand. And Sister Gloria gave me this article here. I guess it was in the Morning Call this morning. Was it today's paper? No. So it was one of the recent papers. But the man named Cal Thomas, he talks about standards of right and wrong and a flower shop. I'm not going to read the whole article. I almost read through the whole thing. But he says some good things in this article, some really good things. But at the very end, he says this. He says, the problem for individuals and nations when standards of right and wrong are abandoned is where it leads. You understand this even? When you abandon standards of what is right and what is wrong, if you just throw it by the wayside and you put in your mind that, well, I just do whatever I feel is right, you're going to get yourself into a mess. There was an individual, I don't even know how to say his name, Mayor, the Cuomo guy up in New York. He's a mayor. Is he the mayor? Or yes. So his daughter come out and said that she's demisexual. What that means is basically whoever I feel like I fall in love with is all right to be with. Now that sounds fine if it's just a woman and a man, or a man and a woman, or even the way society puts it, a woman with a woman, or a man with a man, or a man who turned into a woman with a woman who turned into a man. But what does it happen, like I said earlier in this church, what happens when you start having individuals saying, well, I like children, that's who I'm in love with, and that 8 or 9 year boy says he's in love with me? You see, we don't take it that far because it'll never go that far. Mr. Kyle Thomas has it right on. The problem for individuals and nations when standards of right and wrong are abandoned, where does it lead? Where does it go? It goes to that, and then past that. I like animals. And so I like having relations with animals. Well, preacher, that don't happen. I have many a young man come through the juvenile center and they're in there because they have relations with animals. Preachers never get that bad. Oh yeah, it gets that bad. Where does it lead? We don't want to offend nobody. Listen, Jesus, offenses must come. Look, if you're never offended at something, it's some problem. Their offenses are going to come. What do you do when the offenses come? You can't lose what's right and what's wrong. If you do lose it, you're in trouble. He says moral anarchy has been one of the contributing factors to the collapse of empires and great nations of the past. Apparently, we think we can escape the judgment of history and the judgment of God by believing, quote, by believing whatever our itching ears want to hear and doing, quote, whatever seems right in our own eyes. Those two quotes are from Scripture. Look them up before a court decides they are not inclusive. This man's right on. Just do what's ever right in your own eyes. We're not going to hurt anybody, except for the ones that stand for the Word of God. I want to encourage you this evening to just stay faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Stay faithful to His Word. Stay faithful to church. Stay faithful to following Him. You know, Elijah went off there into the mountain, pray to God that God would just take him out because he was the only one left. But God reminded him, listen, I have 7,000 still that haven't bowed the knee to Baal. And there's still individuals out there that know what's right. They know what's right. And at least that man's willing to make a stand and say something in a paper that goes out to the whole community that, listen, there's still God and there's still judgments, right judgments. And that God is a God of judgment. And someday we're going to have to give an account to him. You know why Rome fell? Rome fell because it collapsed in on itself. There's five things. I think it's Gibson who wrote a book on it. Talk about the five things. One of the five things that caused Rome to fall. One of them was entertainment. Idleness. Idleness of time and entertainment. You tell me we're not there in the United States today. The government supplying your every need. That was another reason Rome fell. And there was five of them. Let us not lose hope. Let us encourage one another. Let us go forward in the strength of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Lamb of God. God's not asleep up there in heaven. He sees everything's going on. Let us just stay faithful and continue to be that light. Let us just stay faithful and continue to be that light. If you take your Bibles this evening again, we're going to continue on here in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. And this evening, we're going to be looking at verses 15 and 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 15 through... Actually, we're going to try to finish up the whole chapter, 15 through 20, tonight. But I'm going to start, you just follow along with me. I'm going to start reading in chapter 2, verse number 1 to get the full context as we go into verses 15 and 16 and then through to verse number 20. Paul says in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts." So far we see Paul coming in. He's saying, listen, you're going to try to put forth the gospel of God, but guess what? You're going to have a bunch of contention. If you're living for God in truth and you're trying to put forth the gospel of God, there's going to be contention with that. And then Paul says, listen, he says in verse 3, "For our exhortation was not a deceit, nor uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak." This evening, we have all of us, if you're saved, you've been entrusted with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you're to put it forth not as pleasing men, but pleasing God. That's why you don't change what the Bible says, you let the Bible change you. You don't listen. I don't get this nonsense and this thought philosophy in the mind to say, well, I've got to change my Bible to make it easier to read for people to understand. Nonsense. You bring your education up to the Bible. You don't bring the Bible down to you. I used to tell the kids that in the Jew, well, it's just too hard to read. The King James is just too hard to read. Learn. Stop having society tell you that you're dumb. You're not dumb. You're smart enough to understand this Bible. Get you a dictionary, ask God to help you, read words, and then ask questions and learn. Don't be lazy. But see, we want to dumb it down, we make it easier to read. No. How about you try that in medical school? How about I want to be a doctor, and I feel you just made these manuals too hard to understand. How about you dumb them down for me so I can be a brain surgeon? You wouldn't go to that surgeon. Not if you had any common sense to you. I want the one that knows how to say all the hard words. I want him operating on me. Right? So if you're not going to dumb down a medical manual, why would you dumb down the most important book there is in all of mankind, for all mankind, the Word of God? But see, we want things easy. We want it just given to us. No, God says, listen, you've been put in trust with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you're to do it not as pleasing men, but you please God, which tries your hearts. You see, that ought to be the prayer tonight. God, to try our hearts. God, try my heart and make sure it's where it ought to be and where you desire it for to be at this present moment, God. God tries our hearts. Verse 5, "For neither any time use we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others. Well, we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children, so being affectionately desirous of you, we are willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were," look at that, "dear unto us." You know what, tonight, brethren, we ought to be dear unto one another. And we're going to look at it this evening. We're going to get to the latter part of this chapter, and we're going to see this notion of, we ought to be dear to one another. You know what kills a church and what kills a society and what kills a country and what kills a city and what kills a business? Pride. Pride. You know what I think comes before someone murdering somebody? Is they let pride get a hold in their life before that thought of murder ever even comes into existence in their mind. They're prideful. Pride kills. Paul says to church here, says, "You were dear unto us." Look at verse 9. "For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are our witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. And you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his glory," or that you walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which what? Which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. Verse 15 tonight now. Who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in present, not in heart, endeavor the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore we would have come on you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this evening. I thank you for your mercy and your grace in this time together. Thank you for your word, Lord. Help us to get something from it tonight. Open our eyes, open our ears, Lord. Teach us, Lord. Help us to draw nigh to thee, to love you more, to love one another. And Lord, help us to live lives that are pleasing in your sight. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul says here in verse 15, who killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they please not God and are contrary to all men. Number one, he says here, it says that they killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets. Take your Bible and look over at Matthew chapter number 21 and verse number 33. Matthew chapter 21 and verse number 3. It says here, Paul says, they killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets. Matthew chapter 21, and I want you to look at verse number 33. Matthew 21, verse 33. Jesus says here, he says, hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandmen took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants other than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir, come, let us kill him and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men, and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render unto him the fruits in their seasons. Jesus saith unto them, did you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived he spake of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude, because they took him for a prophet. You see, when the Lord Jesus Christ calls them out and causes an offense and basically says, you're just like your fathers, you killed a prophet, you want to kill me, you're willing to kill the son. Instead of them falling down before the Lord Jesus Christ and saying, truth, Lord, forgive me for my sins, God, forgive me, Lord, for thinking these things, help me to get right back with you. No, they sought to lay hands on him, but they didn't because they feared the multitude. you try to put forth the word of God, you try to put forth the word of truth, you're going to have those that are going to come against you, and they're not going to like what you're doing for the Lord Jesus Christ, but just stay faithful, because they killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets, and it's going to be no different today in the hour and age that we're living in. Melanie and I were talking earlier this week, and you know what? I think there's going to come a time to where they're going to outlaw the Bible. I think they're going to deem it as hate speech. I think they're going to deem it as to incite racism and everything else that they're going to throw on to the Word of God and say that this Bible ought to be illegal, at least the ones that we're holding in our hands. They'll say that it would not surprise me down the road if they say that our Bible is illegal to have because of the speech that's included in it. Stay faithful to God. Stay faithful to the Lord until He comes back. Take your Bible and look at Deuteronomy chapter number 1 and verse number 34. They said, Paul tells those there at Thessalonica, he says, they killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and their own prophets and have persecuted us. Why the persecution? Why the persecution? Think about that question. As you flip over to Deuteronomy chapter number 1 and verse number 34 and 35, we'll be reading verses 34 and 35. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 34 and 35. Why the persecution? Why, if you're holding up a sign, look, if you don't believe in a God and you're an atheist or you're a humanist or you're a Wiccan, you believe in Wicca or whatever, Buddha, I don't care, whatever, you believe in something else or you don't believe in anything at all, why does it make you so mad? Listen, if you think I'm a crazy nut because I'm a Christian and you believe that I go to church, I'm just crazy for going to church on a Sunday, I got a crazy book that what I believe, you think I'm insane and out of my mind because I tell you there's a heaven, there's a hell, that if you think that I'm crazy, why do you get so mad if I stand out there and just hold up one sign that says one verse about a man you don't even believe in? Why does that incite such anger in you at someone just standing there holding a sign? Look, if I'm driving down the road and there's a man out there in a sheep costume, for Serta or whatever mattress company that is, he's standing there in his sheep costume and he's holding 50% off a mattress, I'm not going to go by and be like, oh, yo, what are you doing holding up that mattress sign? How dare you say 50% off of mattresses? I drive by, if I need a mattress, I might think about it. If I don't, I'm on my way. Why were the Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees so mad at Jesus? What did Jesus do to incite such anger when all he did was go around and do good? He healed the blind. A man that couldn't work was healed. His eyesight was healed so that he could get up and become a productive member of society. Why would you get so mad at him for doing that? Why would you get so mad for him in bringing something back from the dead? Why would you get so mad that he can make a man walk again or a woman get cleansed of the disease she had for tons of years? Why would you get so mad? Because of envy? One thing. They turned him over because they're envious. He was taking away their glory and their power. And he called them out for who they really were. And they didn't like that. Jesus said, you're a sinner. People don't want to be told you're a sinner and you need a savior. You see, our pride, most people, thankfully, everybody in here, I believe, has set their pride aside and acknowledged the fact that they are a sinner in need of a savior. But most of society says, I'm not a sinner and I can do it myself and I don't need your savior. So when you call them out and say, well, no, you do need a Savior. No, that's where the offenses start coming. You do need a Savior. It says, who killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they please not God and are contrary to all men. Look at Deuteronomy chapter number 1 and look at verse number 34 and 35. The Bible says here, it says, and the Lord heard the voice of your words and was wroth and swear, saying, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to give unto your fathers. They pleased not God, and they were contrary to all men. Take that scripture, and you can cross-reference it over to Psalm chapter number 78 and verses 32 and 34. So the Lord tells them there in Deuteronomy, he said, the Lord heard the voice of their words, and it made God angry. And he said, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see the good land, which I swear to give unto your fathers. Psalm chapter 78 and verse 32 and 34 says this, for all this they sin still, and believe not for his wondrous works. Therefore their days did he consume in vanity, and their years in trouble. When he slew them, then they sought him, and they returned and inquired early after God. When things got bad, all of a sudden they turned to God. But when everything's fine and good and dandy, they're not seeking after God. And God knows that, and God sees that. Flip on over to Psalm 106 and verses 26 and 28. These Pharisees, these scribes, these religious leaders in the time of Paul and there at Thessalonica, Paul says they killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and they persecute us also. And they don't please God, and they're contrary to all men. Psalm 106, verses 26 and 28. Therefore he lifted up his hand against them to overthrow them in the wilderness, to overthrow their seed also among the nations, and to scatter them in the lands. Why? They joined themselves unto Baal Peor and ate the sacrifices of the dead. Thus they provoked him to anger with their inventions, and their plagues break in upon them. They pleased not God, and they were contrary to all men. Number three, they forbid them to speak unto the Gentiles the words of salvation. How wicked is that? How wicked is what they did. Not only did they kill the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and cause persecution against those that were trying to follow him, they pleased not God and they were contrary to all men. But then they add on top of this, forbidding them to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway. That's happening today. Well, you can't preach the Bible. You can't keep the Ten Commandments up in the schools. You can't pray in school. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't. Forbidding to put forth the word of God and the gospel that individuals might be saved, that's coming straight from the devil. You understand this morning or this evening? That's coming straight from the devil. And Jesus called him out. He says, you're the father, the devil, you're devil. The devil's your father. Now, not literally, but they're following after just like the devil would do. And the devil hates the Lord Jesus Christ. He hates the gospel because it brings deliverance. You see, we look at what Jesus says, and even if you look in the Old Testament of what God and the law and the commandments that he gave, some individuals will look at it and say, well, it's grievous to be born. But don't you realize that God's doing it for their own good? Do you see, the Lord wants what's good for you because you're his child. And any good father will discipline, will chastise, will prune, will put somebody through a situation because he wants them to see them to be better. Do you understand? God is for you today. He's not against you. So if you're convicted over something, don't look at it as a bad thing. Look at it as a good thing. Because that's a good thing if the Lord's convicting you about something. That means you're his and he cares for you. And he desires the best for you in your life. He wants you to be the best Christian you possibly can be with your time here on this earth. We look at it as a negative thing, but it's a positive thing Because God wants us to grow in the grace and knowledge of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that our walk can be closer with him. You know what I think God desires more than souls? And I believe this evening. God loves souls, for God sent his Son into the world to save sinners. But for what purpose? Why did God come to save sinners? I'll give you the answer. Take your Bible, look back at Genesis. Give me a second to find it. Genesis. Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 8. You know why Jesus Christ came to die for our sins? Look at Genesis chapter 3, verse number 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Do you see that? Adam and Eve had just sinned. They had just ran and hid. They tried to cover up their sin. And as they're doing so, they hear, look what it says. And they, both Adam and Eve, what did they hear? They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. You know why Jesus Christ came to save sinners? So that he can have a relationship with someone who wants to have a relationship back with him. Do you understand this morning? I'm all about going out here, getting the gospel out and seeing people saved, but for what purpose? Why do I want to see someone get saved? So that they don't go to hell? Yeah. But there's more than not just going, I didn't get saved because I didn't want to go to hell. I got saved because I want to love him who first loved me. Why do I want to be with my wife? Because I love her. Why do I want her to be with me? Because I hope she wants to be with me because she loves me. I don't want my wife to be with me because she feels like she has to be with me. And I feel the same way back to her. I don't think she wants me to be with her because I have to be with her. That's not a relationship and that's not love. You see, one of the problems with our independent Baptist church is we do this, don't do this, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, all this other stuff. And we're losing the power because we've lost the love towards God. You know what brings about holiness in a life of a Christian? A desire to love God. And if you allow God to point things out in your life to help you, to correct you, to bring you along, to reprove, to rebuke, it's not because it's done of hate, it's done because of love, because the Lord's saying, listen, I can't get as close to you as I like because there's something there that is an offense to me because I'm a holy God. And I desire for it to be purged out of your life, not because it's something I want you to do, but because it's I want to draw closer to you and have a more intimate relationship with you. Do you see this evening? God wants a relationship. He doesn't want robots. I'm doing this because I have to do it. No, God says, get out of here. I don't want that kind of love. I want you to do it because I love you. I don't buy my wife flowers because I have to. And if I did it that way, at some point she's going to get a hold of it. And she's going to like, get rid of your flowers. I don't want them. Because you're only doing it because you have to. I want you to do it because you want to. Because that shows love. If you're caught in a rut this evening, ask God to help you get out of it. I don't lift my hands as honor to the Lord because I have to. I do it because I want to. Because of who he is. If you don't have that, you have a dead, cold religion. If you don't have that, it's dead, it's cold, and it's religious. A marriage that is not a marriage, you know why marriages fall apart and get, because they've lost their first love. They've let it become routine. You're together as a couple because you want to be, because you want that relationship. You see, Jesus Christ, He wants a relationship with you. He doesn't want a robot. If it were the case, then why didn't angels satisfy the Lord? Why did He create mankind? I'll tell you why He created mankind. And the reason He set it up the way He set it up, He knew. Listen, God the Father, Lord, God knew going into this thing that the majority of mankind is going to reject Him. But He knew that there was some out there that would want to love Him for who He is. And for all of eternity, He can have a relationship with someone who wants to be there and love Him and serve Him. He came walking in the garden in the cool of the day to have a relationship with Adam and with Eve. Someone He could talk to and someone that could talk back to Him. A relationship. We ought to have relationships amongst ourselves as well. You understand this evening? We need to have relationships with one another. Is there going to be some things that annoy you about someone else? Absolutely, yes. But put it aside. Put your pride aside and allow God to build relationships in this church. Do you understand? Because when love is there, then there's strength and God can get in on that thing. He said something about the Holy Spirit. Well, you know what you can do? You can quench the Holy Spirit of God. You can quench it. You can quench the Spirit of God because of something that's going on in your heart that nobody sees and nobody knows about. We need to love one another. Now, is that an excuse to put up with sin? Absolutely not. If there's sin there, then let God deal with it and pray for that individual. But you ought to love one another. Jesus said that, how will men know you're my disciples? By the love which you have for one another. We need to love one another. We need to have relationships with one another because we're brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we have a relationship with one another, we need to have a relationship with our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, your love for one another can never be what it needs to be until your love for God is where it needs to be. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love is willing to look over the faults of someone else and to see them for who they are. Forbidding to speak the words of salvation to the Gentiles is wickedness. To fill up their sins always. They prevented the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to go out into society, specifically to the Gentiles. And Paul calls them out there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16. He says, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved. You see, listen, if those Jews had a right heart towards God and they realized their Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, and what He came to do, why wouldn't they say, go get the gospel out to as many people as possible? I don't care if they're Gentiles. I don't care what they are. Get the gospel to them because I love them. God help soften our hearts. God help to soften our hearts to have a brokenness. To have a brokenness for sinners, to have a brokenness for those that are lost, to have a brokenness for those that are suffering, to have a brokenness for those that maybe aren't where they really need to be with God right now. but have a brokenness over it rather than an anger or a bitterness or a condescending attitude because they're not where we think they ought to be. None of us are where we ought to be with the Lord Jesus Christ in our flesh. Pride. I'm going to close, take your Bible, look back here. Just bear with me a few more seconds. I wanted to finish out this chapter. Look back over at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And look at the very end of what he says here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul tells them here, he says, we were forbidden to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved in verse 16. To fill up their sin always, or always. For the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. Listen, God sees their wickedness. God sees what they're trying to prevent. Look at verse 17. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavor the more abundantly to see your faces with great desire. Paul says, I have such a longing, I have such a desire to see you that I might be away from you, but though I'm away from you, my heart is still there because I desire to be with you. He says in verse 18, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. Satan hindered us. Well, how did he hinder them? Pride. You see, all those ones that wanted to kill the Lord Jesus, the one to kill the prophets, that persecuted them, that forbid them to speak unto the Gentiles, they might be saved, they did it because of pride. They weren't willing to just humble down before God. Humility. You know what will take this church far and what will take you far in your Christian walk is humility. Not being lifted up with pride, but being abased and fallen down before God in humility. Take your Bible real quick and look at Proverbs chapter number 13 and verse number 10. Proverbs 13 and verse number 10. Humility. Putting others before yourself. Not my will. What did Jesus pray? Not my will be done, but thine. Putting yourself down and putting others forward. Proverbs 13, verse 10. Look what the Bible says here. Only by pride cometh what? Contention. If you got contention, the only reason there's contention is because there's pride somewhere involved. A lack of yielding, a lack of humility, a lack of letting the other be right, even though you might be right. Do you hear me this evening? That's something I struggle with for a while. I still struggle with it. Listen, our flesh don't like it. But sometimes I just yield and let the other person feel and think that they're right. And I can handle that. Whatever, go on, that's fine. I'm not going to make it an issue of contention. Why? Because pride comes by contention. Look what it says. Only by pride comes contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. You say, well, brother preacher, what's contention? Strife, struggle, a violent effort to obtain something or to resist a person, claim, or injury. Contention. Look over at Proverbs 14, verse 3. Look at this, what it says. Proverbs 14, 3. In the mouth of the foolish is what? Is a rod of pride. But the lips of the wise shall preserve them. There's been many a man and a woman who had their life taken because they couldn't control their mouth because of pride, and they lost their life. But the Bible says, with the lips of the wise shall preserve them, knowing when to be quiet and not talking. Look over at chapter 16, verse number 18. Pride, looking at pride. The devil hath hindered us, Paul said, from coming unto them. The devil loves to hinder, and one of the ways he can hinder a service or a relationship or a business is by pride. Proverbs 16, look at verse number 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Verse 19, better is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. I'd rather have you let you think you're right and be right than rather win my cause, win my case, yet lose my opportunity. Better is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than divide the spoil with the proud. Lastly, look over at Proverbs 29, verse 23. Pride. God hates pride. Proverbs 29 and verse number 23. Look what the Bible says here. Proverbs 29, verse 23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Not being lifted up with pride. Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And then it defines evil. It says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And then it defines it. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride is the first things listed. Not murder. Not adultery. Not fornication. Not stealing. Not lying. Not bearing false witness. Not setting up images and falling down to them. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride. You know, I think murder, adultery, fornication, lying, stealing, all that comes about because of pride. Pride lifts oneself up. Pride, the definition of pride is an inordinate self-esteem. Pride says, someone is filled with pride says, it's all about me and I can care less what happens to you as long as I get what I need. That's pride. Humility is nothing about me. It's all about you and how I can be a benefit to you. Satan hindered them. Satan hindered them. Let not Satan hinder our lives as we try to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Satan is the father of all pride. He's the king of pride. Close with these verses. I'm going to show it to you. Look at Job chapter 41. The last part of Job. In chapter 41, God's talking to Job about Leviathan, which I believe is a picture of the devil. I don't believe it's some alligator that some commentaries say. I believe Leviathan is a real beast. Right? Look, that ocean out there. Look, I've flown over the Pacific Ocean. It goes forever. You could get in a plane in Los Angeles, take off towards Hawaii. That's about, I think it's like an 8 or 9 hour flight. I could be wrong a little bit on it. It's a long flight. I remember going to sleep as we took off, flying, waking up 3 hours later, looking, there's water. And water, and water. Falling back asleep for another hour or two, waking up, water, water, still water. And thinking in my head, I pray these engines are good engines and they get us to Hawaii because there's a lot of water down there. I don't know all that's in the ocean, but God's telling Job here, says, listen, Leviathan. But look what he says. I'm not going to read the whole chapter to you. Look what he says in, right here, verse number 14. Job 41, verse 14. Who can open the doors of his face? His teeth are terrible round about. His scales are his pride. Shut up together as with a closed seal. One is so near to another that no air can come between them. You see, he's describing Leviathan here, and he says his scales are his pride. This Leviathan is lifted up with pride because of his scales. They're so tightly knit together that not even air can get in between them. It's his strength. It's what he goes in. And you can't do nothing about his scales of pride. Now, I'm not going to get into it this evening. But that's not a picture of a sheep. And you know what makes a good relationship? Is when the walls start coming down. That's when you know you got a good relationship. When people will open up and start talking to you about some things and they know that they can trust you, that you're not going to go blabbering it all over the other place. And that builds a relationship, and that shows that there's love there. You see, Leviathan won't let that happen because of his scales of pride. He won't let nothing in. But you know how you can only have a true good relationship is if you open up and let somebody in, even though it might cause hurt. You see, if you put up walls, you can never have the relationships that God wants and desires for you to have if the walls are there because you're afraid you might get hurt. But guess what? That's the only way you're going to get help sometimes, is to let the walls down. Leviathan's so prideful. He's so prideful in his scales, but he's also pretty lonely out there in the ocean. Look at the last part of Job 41, verse 34. He beholdeth, look what it's talking about Leviathan. I think it's a picture of the devil. He beholdeth all high things. He is a king over all the children of pride. God help me tonight to not allow pride to creep up its ugly head in my life, because then who am I putting myself under and being subject to? The devil. He's the king of all the children of pride. So if you let pride start creeping up in your life, you're setting your subjection, you're setting yourself under the dominion of Satan. Satan's the king of all the children of pride. That's not coming from the Lord Jesus Christ, who was a lamb, who was a sheep, and expects us to be sheep. He expects us to be lambs. He expects us to show humility and not be lifted up with pride. You lifted up with pride, that's an open door for Satan to bring in hindrance into your life and into the church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning or this evening. Lord, I just thank you for how good you are to us. Lord, I pray you'd help me, Lord. Help me with my pride. Lord, help me with my pride. Lord, help me, Lord, to walk humbly with you. And Lord, to crucify this flesh and the affections and the lust thereof. Lord, help me to walk humbly with you. Help me to be the sheep that you desire me to be. Lord, and for the purposes of, dear God, that I could be a light and a testimony to this lost world. Dear God, that we can go out this week, Lord, help us to be the sheep that you'd have us to be. Lord, that we have an opportunity to witness to somebody this week, Lord, for the purpose to show them, dear God, that they can have a relationship with the one who truly does love them. Lord, help us to show your love to this lost and dying world. Not to compromise, Lord. I'm not saying to compromise to sin and what's going on in our society, never. But to show love and compassion. And Lord, help us to walk with you. Lord, help these precious brethren. Lord, I pray you give us a safe trip back home tonight. Thank you for allowing us to be here this evening. Lord, help us to meditate upon these things. Lord, help us to glean some more things from it through this week. Lord, that we may love you more. And we thank you for loving us. And we just pray this in the Lord Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen, brethren. Love you. You're dismissed. And Lord willing, see you Wednesday night. Amen.